Alex, for years, you have crusaded to build a hub for the so-called creative class in this city, a place for the young, the educated, and the talented to hang out, to live, work, and play. You're very close to fruition with the new development 220 Riverside and Unity Plaza. They are opening up soon in the Brooklyn neighborhood just west of downtown. First of all, kudos to you on that.
Well, thank you, Melissa.
And why is it so important to have that in this city?
We believe that bringing this group together in one location provides an opportunity to express ourselves in a way we haven't before. I have a friend from Austin, was in town about a year ago, and she said, y'all have all the same cool things we have in Austin. They're just scattered across 840 square miles. It's difficult to find them and identify with them. If you had a single place that was that identifying point, it would make a big difference. And we believe that Brooklyn is that identifying point, and 220 Riverside and Unity Plaza will be key players in that.
For people who aren't familiar with this development, can you share a little bit about what it will feature?
Okay, it's going to have a 2.5-acre park, kind of a central park for Jacksonville, similar to Bryant Park in New York or Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. It's got 294 apartments and 18,000 square feet of retail space geared towards the activities in the plaza.
And there'll be a concert space too.
There's a 2,000-seat amphitheater that'll be programmed with activities and fun, exciting things every day of the year.
And shopping, it'll have all the components. Ashley Kreitzer, Alex mentioned Austin, Texas. Everybody in the world knows their brand. New Orleans, same thing. New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Boston, L.A., even smaller cities like Austin have figured this out. Austin's tagline, keep Austin weird. That's irresistible. Why do we need to do the same thing? And as you've been covering this, where do you think the leading lights of this town are in figuring this out?
Right. Well, what I've been told is that economic development is a war for talent. So you're not just chasing companies with tax breaks and incentives. You're really trying to build a place that young talent wants to live. And if you're a company in Austin, you don't really have to say much more. We're in Austin. And like you said, even smaller secondary markets like Charlotte have cool brands and reputations as cool places to be. So if you want to bring in more Deutsche Banks and more big companies that need access to this worker pool, you need to have a city like that.
We're getting tweets about this already. Here's one from a listener. Jacksonville's brand is America's incubator. How do you see, both of you, the upcoming One Spark Festival as helping to foster this conversation?
Well, I think that is about creativity. And what we've been saying is Jacksonville is a place for cultural creatives. It's not just young people. Dr. Paul Ray and his wife Sherry coined that phrase 12 years ago to talk about a group of people who are interested in being creative and making a contribution to a larger sense of community. We think OneSpark definitely does that, coalesces the group for one festival a year. We'll be there 365 days a year fostering that at Unity Plaza.
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment. Lots of calls this Monday morning as the city's OneSpark Festival prepares to kick off and an exciting new development in Brooklyn prepares to open. We want to know what you think. What is Jacksonville's brand? And if we don't really have one, what should it be? We'll go to your calls at 549-2937 in just a few minutes. Ashley Kreitzer, what are the biggest challenges to overcoming this? And this is certainly not a new problem for the city.
Right. And the community leaders I spoke with mentioned, you know, bringing people together around a brand. And that's certainly something Alex has been trying to do for years. But I mean, like you said, 840 square miles, 19 members of city council, you know, at least every 8 years, the mayoral administration changes. So it's really uniting people. And it's, you know, I think Steve Halverson once said to me, something you say about Jacksonville is going to be true somewhere. Whether
he's the CEO of the Haskell Company. Mm-hmm. Is that why you called your new development Unity Plaza?
It certainly is, Melissa. That was in the fabric, the very DNA of what we were doing from the beginning.
Let's go to your calls right now. What do you think the city's brand should be? And do you think the upcoming One Spark Festival will help establish that? 549-2937. CJ on the south side. Hello, CJ. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling because I think that Jacksonville really should be labeled as Silicon Beach. I've heard that name tossed around technology circles. I mean, Jacksonville's really, we've got to get companies like Google here. I mean, we have great talent. I know that IBM actually has a lot of individuals that work here remotely. So Jacksonville is a great place and to be able to innovate and have small business and have products. But as far as what the city can do, get things like having smart roads and smart traffic signals and really do the infrastructure and obviously help with the there needs to be public transit. There needs to be really a push to try to correct that problem here in Jacksonville. Thank you.
All right. And quite a few suggestions there from CJ on the South Side. How do all of those ideas help support what you're doing, Alex?
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you, CJ. That's a softball for me. We've been promoting walkability from the beginning. We had Jeff Speck come to town in December to talk to us about the importance of walkability. We have plans to bring Enrico Moretti from Berkeley to town this year to talk to us about job clusters and how they happen. We think creating a walkable environment where people have mass transit, accessibility, and livability is so critical to attracting people who want to live, work, and play in a fun environment. And that's the people that Ashley was talking about.
And they'll be attracted to a development like 220 Riverside. And Riverside is named as one of the most walkable communities in the United States. But for huge sections of the city, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what millennials want. That's what this new young workforce wants, is a walkable environment. And you really can't have a car-dependent downtown. That's not how it works. That's not how urban development works, and that's not how walkability works.
Yeah, you brought up Portland and Austin. When you look at the decisions they made 20 years ago, they invested in bike lanes and rapid transit, and they're reaping the benefits of that today. I think if you really look at who our constituents are and what we're really about, we need to invest in that direction.
But is the political will there to do that, honestly?
You know, I don't know about the political will, but I can tell you there's a financial aspect to this, that being the capital markets and the real estate development community's willingness to do deals in Jacksonville, because it's still widely viewed as a tertiary market. Uh-huh. The rents per square foot are still not where they should be to justify this cool new construction. So while we are starting to see this critical mass build internally, it's still not apparent to the outside world.
Alex.
I think the political will is there. I think it's difficult to believe in something that you can't see. People that haven't been to Austin and Portland and seen these in other markets have a hard time understanding it. When we deliver at 220 and we deliver on the promise of what we've been saying, I think it'll be so tangible and so real that the political will absolutely be there.
And if you've driven down toward Riverside and seen that new development going up, 220 Riverside and Unity Plaza, we want to ask you your thoughts about that new hub for the city as the city's One Spark Festival prepares to kick off Wednesday. We are asking our callers this morning about the search for Jacksonville's brand. What are your thoughts? What should the branding be? Give us a call. John in downtown is on the line, and the number is 549-2937. Let's go to John. Hi, John. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa, and thank you for taking my call. Yeah, here's a brand, and I hope it doesn't get fixed to this community, but how about the St. John's River, or the river that doesn't flow for everyone? And actually, I should have written that down, because I had another little variation of it. But where I'm going with it is this. You know, our river. Right now, there was a meeting, a notice meeting about new docking facilities downtown. And what I'm really concerned about is that it's not open for everyone. And we have this CRA DIA that is getting ready to be fully approved by the Jacksonville City Council. And we really need to open up the river immediately for everyone. And let me just, there was a handout. And if you pull up to a dock, this is what could happen. Any boat or vessel found to be in violation of a subsection of the section may be immediately seized and impounded
but
by
John,
the sheriff.
Your larger point is play up the river and more river access. Yep. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, Susan or Melissa, but we're going to see this river vibrant this weekend with One Spark, the boat show. But think of it as Super Bowl 39, and once everything's gone, you know, we're going to be back to a dormant stagnant state. Okay. And that should not happen.
That should not happen. Thanks for that feedback, John. What about the importance of the river?
Well, obviously, it's a factor. If you look at these other cities, what Portland did with theirs and what San Antonio has done with the little creek that they've got there, we believe it's very important. We're supporting the North Florida Land Trust in their efforts to reopen McCoy's Creek and other activities of theirs. Very important aspects of a livable, walkable city, but it has to be seen in that larger strategic vision as making the community livable and walkable.
Ashley.
Yeah, and you know, I know there are some efforts to activate the Riverwalk, which is beautiful if you spend any time on the Riverwalk downtown until it dead ends abruptly into the shipyards. But that is such an asset,
well,
and such an underutilized asset.
On both the North and South Banks, we can't seem to handle the basic challenge of completing and updating these Riverwalks.
Right, and I think that goes back to your point about political will.
Yeah, this is a direct challenge, not to you two, but to the larger issues. If we can't complete this basic infrastructure project successfully, how can we then tackle the larger question, the larger existential question of who we are and what our brand is?
Well, I don't think we possibly can. I certainly believe we have the capital and the political will not only to complete the Riverwalk, but to see that as a down payment on a brighter future for ourselves. It's a physical outpicturing of that will for a brighter future. I think that project will get done. I think other projects will get done with it. And it'll spur private development that'll create increased tax revenues that'll give us more money to do more things.
Jason in Avondale has some thoughts. Hi, Jason. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Melissa. I'm pretty sure we're the bold new city of the South, aren't we? I mean, I'm thinking of that as the slogan from the 60s, and there's very little bold going on, and there's very little new going on, although I'm very delighted to see 220 Riverside. I pass it every morning when I drive down to Symphony Hall to go to work. And I think the Berkman, too, is a big symbol of what's bad and what's wrong in our city. This building has been sitting there as a scar on our beautiful face, and not one person in the city right now today can tell you what the future of that building is. And we just seem stuck in gridlock. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We have an extraordinary river right through the center of our town that most cities in America would die for. And we have incredible historic fabrics all around us, from buildings and infrastructure and parks. We need to take what is here now and develop it. Go to these cities that you're mentioning, the Portlands and the and those similar towns, and just copy the good things that are working there. We do not need to reinvent the wheel in Jacksonville. That's my commentary, and thanks for taking my call.
Jason in Avondale, thanks for your call. Lots of tweets coming in. Here's one from Sandy. Change the name of the city to just Jack's to differentiate us. From Amanda, the key is unity. Whatever the brand, we all need to embrace it, market it, and be it. 549-2937. Let's go down to St. John's County. That's part of the area and the branding, too. Leo in St. John's County is with us. Hi, Leo. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. My question may have been answered while I was speaking to the person who had me on hold, but I was going to ask how Unity Plaza relates to the landing. And I know that when I first moved here about 12 years ago, I was so excited to go to the downtown and see what it was like and visit the landing and stuff. And when we got there with my young family, it was so depressing because there was nothing going on, and it was kind of like a wasteland on a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, I go up every now and then, and I don't see much change. And I'm wondering, we've already got the landing and this whole project now of trying to reimagine the landing, and now we're going to imagine a new Unity Plaza. How many hubs are we going to have, and how are they all going to relate, and how are they really going to work to attract people? What's differentiating and what's making them united? I don't know if that's clear enough or not.
No, that's a great question. Thank you for that. That's Leo down in St. John's County. Alex Coley.
Well, thank you, Leo. That's a great question. And I think you're already seeing that manifesting over there. The 2.5-acre park is, we broke ground. We had a groundbreaking ceremony a week ago yesterday. You see a fresh market under construction over there. You see our 284 units next to us. I propose to you that there's going to be 4,000 or 5,000 people living within a few blocks of that site within the next few years, living, working, and playing in that environment. I think that's going to be a dramatic departure from what we've seen downtown and provide a real impetus for downtown, as those people will be within a walkable distance of the Jacksonville Landing.
Isn't that the key, Ashley, the residential component?
That's what we're told. I mean, the wisdom is retail follows rooftops. So like Alex said, you're going to have close to 600 rooftops right there, closer to downtown than ever before.
Let's go to Jim in Riverside. Hello, Jim. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. It's Jim Alabiso. Hope everybody's doing great today. I'm just going to second everything I've heard here. And the river just keeps coming up and up again. If you go to any other city in the United States, you're going to see cities leveraging their river more than you're seeing here. And like the gentleman, the previous caller said, you know, we need to leverage what we have. We got a beautiful thing. We got a wonderful town. We're surrounded by water. We got a great community. We got a river running right through the middle of it, and we need to be on it.
Thanks, Jim. That's Jim Alabiso of Jumping Fish on the line. How do you see it? There's a lot of discussion about all the different things that need to be done, but over and over again, when we touch on this topic, this is the feedback we get. Not enough strategic attention is being paid to the importance of the river. What do you think?
You know, it's not something that I hear much about when I spend a lot of time with the Downtown Investment Authority, and one of our callers brings it up frequently at those meetings, but I don't hear much about it beyond that.
You don't think they see that as important?
I don't know if they see it as important. I just know that it hasn't yet come up, but they are in the midst of a CRA plan, community redevelopment plan, and the river is one of the items in there in the long-term plan.
We have calls, meanwhile, from across the listening area this morning. What is Jacksonville's brand? And if we really don't have one, how do you see that conversation taking shape? What should our brand be? Joe in Callahan. Thanks, Joe, for calling from Callahan today. Good morning.
Well, good morning. You know, we talked about the political will of the politicians around the Jacksonville area and the state of Florida, and let's talk about the river as it applies to that river. What we've done is we've allowed the Koch brothers and their paper mill down in Palatka to run a massive pipeline into the middle of the river to dump their chemicals into it, and now we're talking about letting Orlando suck some of the water out of it. So that beautiful river walk we've got down there is going to be able to allow people to walk down and smell all the chemicals that are flowing out into the Atlantic Ocean from downstream or upstream, however you want to look at it, downstate and upstream. But that's the political will that we have in this area. We're more worried about satisfying people like the large paper mills and industries, and we don't really care too much about the quality of life of the people in the city of Jacksonville.
That's Joe in Callahan. Thanks for the call, Joe. Alex Coley, your development is called 220 Riverside. What about this?
Well, I think Joe provided us a great retrospective look of where we've been, but I don't think he provides us any roadmap to where we're going. I see a completely different Jacksonville, a loving and compassionate Jacksonville that cares deeply about their people and about the environment they're doing in. My own experience is we have the political will. Thank Mayor Alvin Brown and the mayor that preceded him and this city council for having the confidence in us as stewards to produce a Unity Plaza. And I believe it's a down payment on a brighter future and a different future than what we've seen in the past.
Let's go to John on the west side. Hello, John. Thanks for calling. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I have one question that's been kind of bothering me. Nobody's actually ever been able to give a good answer. I'm an avid cyclist, and I was just wondering how come the city isn't more cycle-friendly. I mean, we have spots that we can go, but considering how beautiful the city is, I mean, I actually met up with Wayne Weaver at the Baldwin Trail, and I asked him the question, and he kind of shook his head. He said he can't figure it out neither, so why haven't we enhanced that here in Jacksonville? Thank you.
John, thanks for the call. Lots of feedback coming in. Ashley.
Yeah, I think the cycling question ties into the walkability question and being such a car-dependent city. I think that all goes hand in hand.
And so many tweets coming in. Here's another one from Natasha. I agree with the previous callers. The St. John's River is a major asset to the city that just isn't being utilized. Meanwhile, Richard in Avondale's on the line. Hello, Richard. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm delighted to hear that there's an effort made to rebrand the city. And I'm happy to hear this discussion. It's really delightful. I think the problem right now is that there really is no brand, or there's a useless brand. If you drive into Jacksonville from the north, you see a sign that identifies Jacksonville as America's logistics center, which is really meaningless to anybody. A logistics center is a place where stuff passes through. It doesn't define the place. What defines a place is its life and its life and its cultural and natural heritage. which generally gets second shrift here in this place. If you were to go to the Visit Jacksonville website, there's all kinds of stuff about the Jaguars and about golf tournaments and even One Spark, which is kind of a one-off thing, and who knows what the future will be when it's the people running it start devoting their attention to Berlin, but not about the things that really define the place. And if you can look around at the place, and there is evidence of life and culture here, scattered around, that's sort of buried and not highlighted and discoverable and but not easily discoverable by visitors. And I think it's whatever the definition the brand is, I think has to be conscious of the totality of the place. And with respect to that, there was a remark that there's a danger in developing other cultural centers outside of downtown, and I think that's misdirected. You could look at a place like New York or Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a sprawling place, and there are lots of centers of culture all over the place, and it works, and it has an identity.
That's people. That's the larger question. What is our identity? And that's Richard in Avondale. Thanks for the call, Richard. And so, Alex and Ashley, what's happening later today? Lots of feedback coming in on the phones. Something is going on today to further this conversation.
Well, I'm actually headed over to 220 Riverside to sign my lease there. They're finally ready to sign leases. We've got about 20 or 25 people that are anxious to do it, and I wanted to be the first one. So Ashley and I are headed over there to do that at 11 o'clock.
And you'll be continuing to cover this.
Yeah, what's been so fascinating to me about 220 and working with Alex over the last couple of years, the project predates my coming to Jacksonville, but we've been able to talk not just about the deal side of the project, because it is, obviously a real estate development deal, but also just about the vision. And that's not something you get on a lot of deals, someone who's so committed to the vision and not just the profit.
Well, the conversation continues. In the meantime, thank you both so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.